share things here. I don't get to go to some of these meetings, and I got stuff from you that's good stuff that is good for my soul. It's called another Ten Commandments, and I like it. Amen. It says, thou shalt not worry, for worry is the most unproductive of all human activities. Wouldn't it be wonderful not to worry? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I could actually incorporate this into this teaching on prayer today. Amen. Because worry is something God says prayer is the antidote for, doesn't he? Amen. I think I will incorporate it with God's help, some of it anyway. Praise God. Amen. In all things, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. With thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Keep primarily, there will be a barrier, there will be a fortress against the crippling effect of worry and anxiety. Can you say amen? Amen? Thou shalt not be fearful, for most of the things we fear never come to pass. That's been statistically proven. There's a huge percentage, about 90% of the things that we are concerned that may happen will never happen, and all of that is wasted. And the things that may happen, God said he would be with us in trouble, and so we don't have to worry about that. Praise God. Amen. Thou shalt face each problem as it comes. You can handle only one at a time. Don't try to take care of tomorrow's issues today. Thou shalt not cross bridges before you get to them, for no one has yet succeeded in accomplishing this. Hello? Amen. Thou shalt not take problems to bed with you, for they're very poor bedfellows. Thou shalt not borrow from other people's problems. Oh, Lordy. It doesn't say, oh, Lordy, here. I put that in. Amen? Amen. They can take better care of them than you can. Thou shalt be a good listener, for only when you listen do you hear ideas different from your own. It's very hard to learn something new when you're doing all the talking. Thou shalt not try to relive yesterday's, for good or ill, it is gone. Concentrate on what's happening in your life today. Thou shalt not become bogged down by frustration, for 50% of it is rooted in self-pity and only will interfere with positive actions. Thou shalt count thy blessings, never overlooking the small ones, for a lot of small blessings add up to a big one. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There are 2 days in the week about which we should not worry. One of these days is yesterday, with all of its mistakes and cares, its faults and blunders, its aches and pains. We cannot undo a single act we perform. We cannot erase a single word we said. Yesterday is gone forever. The other day we should not worry about is tomorrow, with all its possible adversities, its burdens, its large promise, or its poor performance. Tomorrow is also beyond our immediate control. Tomorrow's sun will rise, either in splendor or behind a mask of clouds, but it will rise. And until it does, we have no stake in tomorrow, for it is yet to be born. This leaves only one day, today. Any person can fight the battle of just one day. Did you know in the suicide helplines, they say if you can get people just to wait 24 hours, that's what they're looking for. Give a window before you take some kind, think you can't take any more. Wait one more day. So many people would not commit suicide if they had waited one more day. This leaves one day today. It's when you and I add the burdens of those two awful eternities, yesterday and tomorrow, that we break down. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, please pass this to your friends and co-workers, and thank you for passing that to me. And I passed it on this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to James chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 15 and 16 and actually, if you back up into verse 14, we could start there, but I'll just, for time's sake, James 5, 15 through 18. And we're going to talk about prayer once again. Simply because God has ordained that faith be exercised in the context of an intimate relationship. Everybody say that faith has been ordained by God to be exercised in the context of an intimate relationship with him. That's why prayer is the primary way that we are to exercise our faith. Now, that doesn't mean we don't stand on the Word. We don't hold to the promises of God. It means that we don't do it as the primary way we exercise our faith. The primary way is prayer. Battles are won or lost, not in how faithfully we stand upon the Word, but how faithful God is to watch over His Word to perform it. Can you say amen? Prayer becomes the central issue of our faith. Little faith, little praying. There are those that would teach us to pray one prayer and to ever repeat it again would be a lack of faith, because now the force of faith is doing the work. And I don't want to get too far over into that, because that just irks me, and I don't want to preach irked. I've got too many answers to prayer to preach with an irk. I don't want my irk on. I want my praise on. Can you say amen? But it irks me when things go against the Scripture. Let me just put the truth before you today. Amen. Prayer is the way God has ordained as the primary way for you to express your faith. Amen. Little faith, little prayer. Much faith, much prayer. Why? Because if you have faith that God hears and answers prayer, then with all the needs that we have, our families have, our friends have, our country has, our government has, our world has, amen, we're going to be much prayer. Amen. We'll have much praying in our life. So God has ordained that prayer be the way. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing. That faith comes secondary to intimacy with God, a relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Faith doesn't stand alone, because in order to pray, you have to qualify. You have to forgive your enemies. You have to get what's wrong between you and your spouse if you're married. Amen. If you've done somebody wrong and you bring your gift to the altar, you've got to go and get it right. Amen. If you've got unconfessed sin in your heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, David said, guess what? Thou will not hear me. Amen. The New Testament spins off of that and says, we know that God heareth not sinners. If it's my practice to sin without repentance, God says, I won't listen. You can build your faith. You can write the checks to the evangelist. You can sow into orphans, whatever you want to do. But I won't hear you until you confess your sins. Can you say amen? Amen. For we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. If I regard iniquity in my heart, thou will not hear me. The book of Isaiah said, my hand's not short that it cannot save. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Your sins have separated between you and your God. That's why repentance is one of the most powerful, positive messages that could ever be brought to the church today in America. Can you say amen? Because when we truly get right with God, His hand reaches to answer, because His ear hears. The great issue of prayer is not whether you have the ability to stand on the Word until you make something happen through your faith. The great issue of prayer is, do you have God's ear? Do you qualify? This is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of Him. Can you say amen? The Bible said in Isaiah 58, you shall not fast as you do this day to make your words heard on high. If God is going to come through and God is going to listen, you have to get right with Him in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. But when we do, God hears and God answers, because His ear is not heavy that it can't hear. But what separates one thing, that three-letter word that we don't want to talk about much in the church, but we need to more, and it's called sin. See, God is the same. One of the guy in Kenya, I think of Kenya or wherever it was from, Liberia, somebody, anyway, wherever it came from, amen, he was talking about, listen, whatever he heard encouraged him that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our current radio broadcast is really taking that forward because it's talking about the God of wonders. There is no other God in heaven but a God that comes through for His covenant people. That manifests Himself in behalf of His covenant people. There's no weak God. There's no unloving God. There isn't a God that doesn't listen when we cry unto Him. Some years ago, I saw a picture of an old burned out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney, the charred debris of what had been the family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home stood an old grandfather looking man, dressed only in his underclothes. He had to run out to save his life with a small boy clutching a pair of patched overalls. It was evident that the child was crying. Beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. They were simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy of life. Here they are. Hush, child. God ain't dead. I like that. This house is, everything we own is burned, it's ruined, and it looks like we're in a hopeless situation. But hush, child. God ain't dead. Can you say amen? I believe that if the Holy Spirit could speak something to us today, with all of our troubles, it would be, hush, child. God ain't dead. Can you say amen? God is on the throne. A.B. Simpson is reported to have said that the gospel, and I'm going to quote A.B. Simpson, tells rebellious men that God is reconciled, that justice is satisfied, that sin has been atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty may be revoked, the condemnation of the sinner canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portals of heaven opened wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the broken heart comforted, the sorrow and misery of the fall undone. And then he said, give to the winds thy fears. Hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God will lift up his head. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift up thy head. Hallelujah. Amen. In really tough, really long, really painful trials and discipline, God says hope in Christ. Why? Because he's broken the bonds of sin for you, delivered you from slavery to self, the flesh, and the world. Because he's borne the penalty as a propitiation for your sin, taking the wrath of God for you and bringing you to him. Because he's granted you everlasting righteousness by faith alone. Because he's completed all the prophecy about his first coming, thus will fulfill about his second. And it just goes on and on, talking about all the truths of Scripture about what God has done in Jesus Christ for you and me and how we have access to him. Trials get heavy. Everybody say, trials get heavy. God said prayer is the relief valve. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. If he's sick, call the elders. But if he's got trouble, prayer is the relief valve. Praise God. Amen? There's a place that Jesus went to pray. My dad plays that beautifully. It's called In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, he says, while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. One of my dad's favorite songs. We call Gethsemane the Garden of Gethsemane, and we picture plants everywhere, but it was really a grove. It was really an orchard. It was really an olive orchard. Comes from two Greek words, one for, I think it's G-A-D, and the other for semen, and it means oil and press, because they would get the olives in a fish net. They'd take the fish net and put it on a huge rock, and they lowered through a pulley or some device a huge stone onto that net holding all of those olives And when that stone was placed upon the olives, the weight of the stone pressed them. Gethsemane means olive press. Say it with me, olive press.
Olive press.
To be perfectly clear, it was not a garden. It was a grove of olive trees where there was an olive press. And Jesus went in there with getting ready to take the burden of the sins of all of fallen man upon himself. And the pressure began to build. He was in the olive press personally. And in that place, Jesus sweat, the Bible said, became as great drops of blood. Do you understand better why he chose the olive press to play? The Garden of Gethsemane was an olive grove with an olive press. And the very word to the people of that day, Gethsemane, they'd say that's where they pressed the olives. By the way, the stone didn't just come down upon it and then be pulled up. The stone rested upon that fishnet full of olives until all of the oil of the olives were drained from them. And the Bible said when Jesus got into Gethsemane, the Bible said he poured out his soul unto death. And the Bible spoke of a suffering that took place before the cross in the olive press. And we think it's strange that sometimes we have pressure placed upon us. Can you say amen? And the Bible said his sweat became as great drops of blood. You can see the analogy between the olive press situation and what was happening to him as he chose that place for his prayer. He knew this was going to be an agony in terms of his personal turmoil, because inside of him, by the way, we think in our thinking, because we're not as holy as he is. He's divine. We're the branches. Can you say amen? We're not on that level. And I'm so glad to see you. Even if you come in your lawyer suit this morning, praise God, I still recognize you. We're glad you're here today to worship with us. Brother Taylor's on vacation. We'll be back, but we're glad he told you how to find us. And we're glad you found us today, brother. Hallelujah. And sister, hallelujah. Amen. It was the olive press. And he sweat with great drops of blood. The capillaries under his skin, literally, begin to break, and the sweat glands blended with the blood from those capillaries, and a reddish brown liquid began to pour from his pores. The Bible said that he suffered in that garden in a way that we can't really understand, because he said, if there's any other way, you can see the conflict. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. First hear that. I think of nails going through the wrist forward. Part of the wrist forward was considered the hand. A man crucified with the nails in the center of the hand, it would just tear loose from his weight. But there is a cross piece in the wrist right here. And if they put it just under that cross piece in the wrist, and to be honest with you, I would rather have something pierce here. It's not as sensitive as what I feel like the wrist would be. Amen. We think of the suspending on the cross, the beating, his back plowed by the, and they made their furrows long prophetically. The beating he received, his visage marred more than any man's. Amen. We think of the physical pain that he was about to experience, but this was something far beyond the physical pain of the cross. Many others experienced the same kind of death that Jesus died on the cross. It couldn't redeem us, but the same suffering as his death was. There's something else going to happen to him. Something so bitter. He said, if there's any other way to save mankind, this is what brought the pressure upon him. Let this cup pass from me. See, when he stood before Pilate, he stood with the presence of his Father. No matter who forsook him, and so many did, amen, when the fear come, so many that promised to stay close to him backed off when the threat of suffering his fate came to them. But you know what he said in Pilate's hall, standing alone? while the disciples were hiding, he said, "My Father is always with me." See, the death he was going to die, he was going to die as a sinner. He was going to die without God's presence, without God's grace, without God's peace, without any hope. He was going to die like a hopeless, lost man. Amen? Thank you, sir. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. It went way beyond the physical suffering. For the first time ever throughout all eternity, Jesus and the Father, Jesus would die like a man forsaken of God. When we saw him, Isaiah said, "There's nothing that we should desire him, but we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Can you say amen? He said something on the cross. This is what he dreaded. "Father, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" He knew going in this was going to happen. But when it happened, it was so overwhelming. I think that's why he's such a compassionate Savior. So committed to saving the lost. Amen. Because he doesn't want any person to die like that and face eternity like that. Can you say amen? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It should bring a love. It should bring a devotion. It should bring a commitment to trust him through trials. I don't want a Gethsemane. I want to bypass Gethsemane. In fact, I want to bypass the cross. Can you say amen? Yeah. Jesus said, "If any man will be my disciple, let him come after me. I will make him rich and powerful. He will be ruler over many businesses. He will acquire many lands. He will build up personal wealth beyond anything he could imagine." No, he said, "If any man would come and follow me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross." Hallelujah. "And come and follow me." And they did it because they saw the kingdom. And the Bible said that Jesus saw something beyond the physical pain and beyond the shame. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Cursed is everyone that is hung upon a tree. Amen. When they considered him cursed, smitten of God, and afflicted, God forsaken. He must have done some terrible crime, amen, for God to allow him to be punished this way. And yet, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I want you to quit thinking about your body when you see that initially. It's okay to use that, because what he did to save us opens the door for God to answer prayers for healing. But it is not in the context of your physical body. Healed, amen. There's a healing beyond your body. And if it don't get beyond your body, you're in trouble this morning. Even if you got your body healed, can you say amen? The greater healing. And I'm not dis-preaching healing. I am preaching healing. I have been healed of leukemia. Amen. I'm standing here at 63. And I was supposed to be pushing daisies when I was before my 9th birthday. Amen. They told my daddy to take me home. Give me plenty of nourishing food and all the candy I wanted, to try to keep my energy up until they could put me in the hospital to give me morphine while I was dying. But instead, he took me to church. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't just say any church. He took me to a church where God was still God. And Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Where God still saves the lost, heals the sick, delivers the captive. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm a living advertisement for what God can do and still does for those who put their trust in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why this prayer answering stuff is so vital and so important. We need the relationship with God that He can come through. God just delivered my son from 30 years of alcoholism. Hallelujah. And what brought him to the crisis point was liver damage, to where he couldn't hold his food down. He's passing blood. Went to a liver specialist and said, "Your liver's damaged. You continue to drink, you die." They didn't even know if he would live 6 more months because of liver damage. Oh, by the way, and your wife verified this, Willie. Amen. You know what? He's not a candidate for a transplant. You know why? Because they're not going to give an alcoholic a transplant, a new liver, so he can ruin it when somebody will take it and live their life with it. They don't even put him on the list of 5,000. First thing God did when he really got thoroughly right with God was deliver him from alcoholism without delirium tremors, without the medication the doctor gave him to help him get through it. Because whom the Son... Oh, I'm talking about the Son of God, hallelujah, whom the Son sets free. It's free indeed. Hallelujah. And then as a bonus, he did something my son wasn't even asking for or praying for. In fact, my son told me, "I'm so glad to be free after 30 years of alcoholism." He said, "If I live 6 more months and I go home to be with my King," he said, "I'm going to live as a free man. And it's okay, Daddy." And you know what God did? Not because listen to me. This is just the great grace of our God. Amen. He went back to the doctor for further liver tests to see how extensive the damage was and get a prognosis. When all the results come back, his doctor said, "This is phenomenal. Your liver is functioning way above the normal healthy level for a liver to function." And he mentioned God 3 times. Because he knew God had done something. Hallelujah. There's been someone intervene in this young man's life. Praise God. Prayer answering God. And a God who does be above and beyond even that what we could think or ask. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I want to be right with Him. I want to be able to pray and get His ear. Amen. That's why David loved Him so much. God came through. He said, "I love the Lord because He's heard my cry. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. I love the Lord because He hears my prayer." Turning His ear always to me. Literally, He bends down to listen when I pray. Hallelujah. No, He doesn't sit aloof in His heaven waiting for us to storm heaven with our faith. When we cry unto Him, remember that old camp meeting song? "He will hear your faintest cry and He will answer by and by." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. He will hear your faintest cry. David said, "I cried unto the Lord. He heard me. He heard me." The issue of prayer, amen, the power of prayer is not in the one who prays, but in the one who listens. Woo! It's not your great faith. I'm sorry. It's the greatness of your God and the graciousness of your God. You can't sport your great faith like a banner of how great you are and mighty you are. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. When my son humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, God delivered him from alcohol and threw in healing as a bonus. Hallelujah. Woo! I like the bumper sticker that said, "I love serving the Lord. The benefits are out of this world." Can you say amen? David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and how much? All that's within me. Bless His holy name. And forget not all of His benefits. This is an old covenant man in an old covenant psalm. And he said, "Who He forgives all of that iniquity." See, that opens the door for everything else. Can you say, man? And then He heals all of thy diseases. And then, oh yes, all of them, David said. Glory be to God, hallelujah. And then he delivers your soul from destruction. And He renews your youth, amen. So like the eagles, praise God in strength. He's just a mighty, delivering, healing God. Hallelujah. Amen. And He comes through. No wonder the devil doesn't want the church praying the prayer David prayed to keep that door open. Create in me a clean heart, Psalm 51. And renew in me a right spirit. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of your salvation. See that word in the old covenant, it doesn't mean what it does in the new covenant. No one got born again back then. Salvation back then was God's deliverance. Every time they prayed and God sent an angel. Every time they prayed and God parted, amen, a Red Sea. Every time they prayed and God came through supernaturally, it's called salvation. David said, if I can pray again and in a position of repentance and cleansing so that God will listen, He'll restore to me the joy of His deliverance. And when God delivered from that army that looked like it was going to destroy what God delivered him from Egypt, Pharaoh's pursuing them. Remember what happened when the Red Sea came open for God's people and came back together? What did Miriam do? It wasn't just a Holy Ghost liver shiver that she got. Can you say, man? We've all got a Holy Ghost liver shiver before. Amen, but the joy of answered prayer is different. Because it means when you go back out there and you have to face the devil head on and whatever the circumstances of your life are, God is going to come through. And when God comes through, there's a joy that comes from seeing Him come through. It's called the joy of His deliverance. The joy of answered prayer. The joy of God coming through. She got a tambourine, got all the women of Israel. It's hard to get the men to do these things sometimes. The women usually take the lead. So if you have a problem with that, then you're going to have to get up and do more. What did they start singing? The joy of His deliverance. Our God is a man of war. He casts the horse and the rider into the sea. He provides for our deliverance. Hallelujah. Our God is a mighty delivering God. We pray and God listens. Hallelujah. Amen. Who is like our God? A God so nigh us in all that we call upon Him for. I regard iniquity in my heart, David said. This is way more than just a faith issue, isn't it? Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. So the Bible said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, verse 15 of James 5, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, wait a minute, before we start moving past just the body, God is concerned about that issue. So anything that would separate us and Him from the relationship that He wants with us and that Jesus died so we could have. Primary reason Jesus died was not to get you to heaven. That's a bonus. The Bible said the just has suffered for the unjust that he might walk. Just we escape hell and go to heaven. No, that he might bring us to God. Evidently God wants fellowship and relationship. Any man hear my voice and open. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come in and what? What will he do when he comes in? I will sup with you and you shall what? Sup with me. Everybody say intimacy. personal relationship. That's why God has chosen prayer as the primary expression of faith. Can you say amen? Because in order to pray effectively, you need a personal relationship with God. And that's why Jesus, I'm going to get back to that olive press. It was a grove of olive trees, Gad for press. And then the next word was for oil. And they knew this was a press where the oil of the olive was pressed out of the olive. And it was there in Gethsemane. And you know how Jesus prayed in Gethsemane with that the heaviness of what was about to happen? He was going to take the sins of the whole world. He was the sacrifice lamb, John said, that would die for the sins of the whole world. That's not universalism. It means anyone in this fallen world that will repent of their sins and call on Him can be forgiven. Can you say amen? He died for that purpose. And you know how what He did to relieve the pressure of that place? And to set His face like a flint when He left that place? Do you know what He did? Do you know what He did? Amen. With the pressure so great on Him, not the wine press, but the olive press. They put this huge, heavy rock. They let it down, this flat rock, upon that bag of olives, literally in a fish net full of olives. And they lowered it down, and it laid on it until all of the oil was pressed out. You know how He prayed? He said, "Abba, Father." He didn't just say Father. The intimacy had to be there to relieve the pressure. But it was Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word. Common speech in Jesus' day. It wasn't Greek. It was Aramaic. And in the Aramaic, Abba was the first words formed by infants when they recognize who their daddy was. It's a simple word because it's only two syllables. Babies picked it up quickly. Abba. Say it with me. Abba. There's a counterpart in our English-speaking society. What is it? Dada. 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 Wasn't it great when your little girl first said, "Horsey. Horsey. Horsey." Always kid, because he's always packing her around that she's his horse. No, she said, I love you, brother. And dinner's not here, so somebody's got to get picked on today. You know what she said? She said, "Dada. Dada. Dada." I remember when my first boy, who's now 46, going on 47, when he first mouthed the words, "Dada," I thought, yeah. That's me. That's me. I'm his daddy. I'm his daddy. I'm his daddy. Amen. I like being honored that way, that he recognized this is not just any guy here. This is my daddy here. Jesus could have used the Father and been biblically accurate, because indeed God was his Father. They were one in essence and one in purpose, but there was a Father, a Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Jesus could have said Father in the garden, but in the pressure of all of that he was about to face, He prefaced it with the most intimate term you could ever say. And He was the only one who could ever say it, because He was the only begotten Son of God at that time. But you know what happened when that veil rent? When God brought us into His holy family, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit within us verifies when we cry, "Abba, Father." And where did we cry, "Abba, Father"? In what context? Is it just, we can just strut that song without intimacy. You can sing this song without intimacy. It's a true song. Without intimacy, it doesn't have impact. "I am the seed of Abraham and his blessings." I'm after the blessing. I'm not after intimacy with God. I'm just after my blessing. We used to sing the song at church. "I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. He knew just what I wanted and gave me what I wanted. I got just what I wanted." I'm glad Jimmy's here today, because many people pray, not like this Jimmy, but it rhymes. So don't take it personal, because you're bigger than me. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Amen. My name is Jimmy. I want all you'll give me. Can you say amen? There's so many gimme prayers out there. But God has designed that your faith work in the context of relationship. Amen. So we cry, Abba, Father. Where did Jesus use that term? Did he use it to feed the multitude? No. Did he use it, amen, in any other context? No. But in the pressure of Gethsemane, Gethsemane, amen, olive press, oil, being pressed and oil. In that context, he used this intimacy in prayer. Abba, Father. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. So when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he starts out with telling them, you don't begin it with quoting the scripture or standing on the word. You begin it in a humble dependency in the context of a personal, intimate relationship, our Father who art in heaven. And then you honor his name, hallowed be thy name. And then you bow to his will, thy kingdom come. You don't try to bend his will to what you want. You bow to his will. Amen. And say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth primarily and secondarily the world about us, but beginning with us, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Your eternal purpose be done in me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is so important that we catch the intimacy of this. Our time is almost up, but this is so important. I want to read something to you. Are you getting this where Abba was used and how it's to be used and how faith is to be used in the context of an intimate relationship? I read it just fell into place though. I read in a journal online that a man said the Lord spoke to him. And now this says this man and not the Lord. This is a man's personal journal that he blogs. And he said, this is what the Lord, I asked the Lord to speak to me this week. And this is what he spoke to him. And the amazing thing is, it just is perfectly in line. It's biblical, it's scriptural. And this is what, if a prophecy was given, interpreted, my heart is burdened for my people who do not know how much I love them. I'm burdened for those who do not really know me as their father. They address me by the title, but they've never experienced the reality of the relationship. They have missed much. They have no recognition of how much access they have to me. Are we biblical so far here? We can qualify this or disqualify it. Or how willing I am to get involved in their lives and bless them. Oh, that my people would believe the testimony of my word. Can they not see how I blessed my people in days of old? Can they not see how I fought for my people and delivered them from their enemies? Alas, they cannot see because they've closed their eyes. They cannot hear because they've closed their ears. They have neglected me. They have relegated me, rather, to the past and therefore will not receive me in the present. Therefore, they do not know me, even though they say they do. See, they that do know their God, what's going to happen? We will be strong in spite of the trouble, in spite of the trials, and we will what? Do exploits. Amen. If you go to New International, it says they will take action. Praise God. We won't be stymied by fear, but we will actually take action. We will step out and believe Him after we pray. But I will war against this mindset, he said. I will war against the unbelief of generations. I will raise up a testimony to myself that will provoke the hearts of those who say I'm a God of the past and not a God of today. I'll begin to display extraordinary answers to prayer. Or as my son's doctor said, phenomenal. I took my dad in, who's going on 91, some years ago, Tony, with inoperable prostate cancer, an aggressive prostate cancer. And the doctor simply said, we can't cure you. But if we don't do something to head it off, it will go to your spine. It will go up your spine. You will be hospitalized and you will die in a hospital and it'll be really, really tough. Then he asked him, how long do you want to live? And Dad said, as long as I can. That would be a pretty good answer for most of us. Given the you know, I mean, if I could just go to sleep in Jesus, but if I got to have this happen, if I could choose, I'd just go home. But if you got to go through that to get there, I just soon, you know, I live a little longer without that. But we just prayed for him in simple faith. We just, you know, when you're there's a certain age and stage of life that you can't ask to stay here forever. But ask God to give him grace and give him peace and not let him be in pain. And Lord, heal him. Of course I asked God to heal him. But I couldn't pray for him like I could for you or you. Or you. Because he was in his late 80s. 87, somewhere 86. They gave him some medication. He took it. He felt so good. He just quit it. Just quit it. Finally went back to the doctor after months. The doctor did the test and said, because he told the doctor I quit taking the medication. Couldn't afford it anyway. I believe I'm just in the hands of the Lord. I'm in the hands of the Lord. It's in God's hands. But see, when it's in God's hands, it wasn't what you made happen. It's God. It's about God. His sovereignty, his eternal purpose, his faithfulness, his grace. He said, the doctor said, if I didn't know you had prostate cancer, I wouldn't believe you had ever had. I can find no place of cancer in your prostate. I can find nothing at all. My dad is 91. He don't have no prostate cancer. They were not trying to cure him, but to just help him live without pain a little bit longer. Amen. But it's gone. When I got healed of cancer, you know what the doctor put down? Spontaneous remission. Isn't that incredible? How we won't acknowledge God. Amen. You pray, and it's before you pray, it's there. You pray, and it's gone. And instead of the doctor saying anything about God, they put down, guess what? Spontaneous remission. No chemotherapy. We had no insurance. No bone marrow transplant. I believe when I, back in the day when I was 8 going on 9, they didn't even have access to those things that I knew of. Amen. No treatment. No medication. But I remember the night they took me for prayer. Hallelujah. And I remember first time I'd ever encountered the power of God was in that prayer line. Amen. I used to hear them sing that old camp meeting song. I feel God's not dead. He's still alive. We didn't pay no attention to the heavens. Amen. We felt it in our feet. We felt it in our hands. Can you say amen? How do you know? I feel it in my feet. I feel it in my hands. I feel him all over me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Heaven's up there declaring his handiwork, but not like Sister Lucy could declare it. Can you say amen? I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I didn't know what they were singing about, sister. I didn't know what they were talking about till I got in the prayer line, dying with cancer. Amen. The closer I got to the front, the more I felt it in my feet. Can you say amen? Mark, I felt it coming up my legs like liquid honey. Amen. Coming up my legs. Coming up until when I stood in front of the preacher, it was all over me. Praise God. And you know, my mother went to tell him about my leukemia. Amen. He didn't know nothing about no leukemia. He got a word of knowledge from the Lord. The Lord spoke to him in the way that he could understand. He said, I rebuke cancer of the blood in this young man's body in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it spontaneously left. Isn't that incredible? Wow. But I will war against this mindset. I will war against the unbelief of generations. I will raise up a testimony to myself that will provoke the hearts of those who say I'm a God of the past and not a God of today. I'll begin to display extraordinary answers to prayer. Would you say these are extraordinary? It's amazing. There are whole ministries that teach the days of miracles are over. And yet they're praying for God to help them achieve their building fund. And they want the whole church to pray that the money will come in. And you know what constitutes a miracle in Webster's little short definition? A supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. In other words, if God does anything, it's a miracle. Amen. If God answers a prayer to meet the need for the new building, He has intervened in the normal course of human affairs. For God to answer a prayer, for God to bless your food, if He really blesses it, if it does any good for you to pray, you don't know what happened to that biscuit in the back room. I don't just bless my food because I'm religious. I bless my food because I'm scared. I don't know if that guy washed it. It says in the bathroom. Employees, because they don't care about us, but the employee, they want us to know they have told that employee to wash those hands before they go handling our food. You think if that guy back there getting minimum wage and everybody hollering at him, if he drops a piece of chicken on the floor, you think he might just pick it up, brush it off, and throw it in your box? See, now everybody going to go home and pray over your food. Lord, bless this food. Sanctify it. Cleanse it. Everything is to be received when it's sanctified with the word and prayer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. For God to bless your food, He's got to be a miracle working, prayer answering God. For God to bless, to build that building. Amen. He's got to supernaturally intervene and send it in somehow. Amen. Amazing that we'll ask God to bless brick and mortar and stained glass. But we don't believe in laying hands on the sick when the building is not the temple. Amen. That's the church where the temple goes to worship. Can you say amen? Your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? If God will meet the need for a building fund, if God will meet the need to send a missionary, God will heal the sick. He will deliver and set free. He's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And I believe what that guy wrote this week in his journal, amen, is something God wants the church to know and the church to hear. Hallelujah. He just shared it. It was personal to him. God would like to be known, amen, that He would like to separate us, segregate us, mark us as different from the world, that we have a God in heaven who hears and answers. This is not just one religion against another, one ideology against another. This is a God who has raised His Son from the dead. Wow. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That didn't say about a man of great faith and power. What brought that power was righteousness. A righteous man. Righteous man. That's why David said, if I want to see your deliverance again, I'm going to have to be right before you again. So renew in me a right spirit. Can you say, man, is this a man of great faith or is this a righteous man? It don't take a lot of faith for a righteous man to get the will of God to be done. Can you say amen? And then it went on to tell you, this is going to qualify every one of us for prayer and not disqualify anybody. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Everybody say he got the blues. Everybody say he got down. Amen. You know where he went from seeing the fire fall? Into a cave of self-pity and said, I'm the only prophet left in Israel, jealous for God. And they're going to kill me. Amen? He was just like us, wasn't he? Can you say amen? We talk faith, preach faith, sing faith until we hit a big trial. And then we all end up in that old cave of self-pity. Amen. I've been there. I know that place well. I don't need a picture. I could draw it if I was an artist. Can you say amen? I've been there many times. Praise God. And God has never sympathized with me in the cave. You know what he told him? He said, what are you doing here? Can you say amen? You can't stay in that cave of self-pity, accusing God of unfaithfulness, and have God help you. You got to come out of that cave. Praise God. And I believe God, through answered prayer, wants to draw us out of those places. Amen. Listen to this. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, but he prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed in the will of God. He prayed as a righteous man. Hallelujah. And you know what he prayed for? Everybody's blessing. No, he prayed, God shut the heavens. No wonder God listened to him. Amen. He said, if you're full of sin, I'm not going to pray that God bless you. If you're full of rebellion, I'm not going to get a prayer line here and promise that everybody's going to prosper. In fact, I'm going to pray God get your attention so you'll repent. Not because I don't love you or he don't love you, because it's the only way he can legitimately show that love by blessing you. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I ain't going to pray for you to prosper if you've got a rebel heart. Amen. I didn't pray for my son to make it in Nashville while he was drinking himself to death. Amen. And add cocaine to the mix because he had... No, I didn't pray for that. I didn't pray for God to prosper him, and God didn't. Amen. But God's going to prosper him now. If he follows on to know the Lord now, amen, God is going to restore the years. The caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm, and grasshopper is eaten. Can you say amen and locust? God is going to do that. That's the kind of God that he is. Now let me hurry with this. He prayed it not might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Amazing thing. He just prayed for the will of the Lord to be done. And this was the will of the Lord. And when they came to get him to kill him, amen, they wanted him dead because they blamed it on him. And they said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Can you say amen? That's not what they're looking for today, is it? They're looking for the applause of men, the praise of men. They're not looking for revival, something that would bless this nation, amen, and bring us back to God. They're looking for the immediate gratification of people applauding them. You hit a true prophet, he won't pray for your blessing when you're wrong with God. Amen. Most churches don't want to hear what a true prophet would have to say. They put you out. Amen. They wouldn't want Jesus in their pulpit. If Jesus cut his hair, shaved his beard like mine, you know, and put on a vested suit and showed up on Sunday and knew everything that was in the congregation in some churches, not this one, of course, but some. If he saw hypocrisy and he saw people unwilling to repent, let me tell you how he talked in the Bible, and he changes not. He's the same. He talked the same way. Generation of snakes and vipers, hypocrites. Oh, yes. Boy, you can see them hitting the door in droves. Can you say amen? But that's the Jesus of the New Testament. He wouldn't have minced words about that. I heard the story of a man who trying to get people to come out to a revival, and he had a talking, he had a horse. He couldn't talk, but he could count. And they said, y'all come out Sunday night. They couldn't get people to come back. Come out Sunday night. We got a horse that can count. He's going to be here Sunday night. So all the people that wouldn't come for the cross and the love of the Word of God and the love of the brethren, they showed up to see the counting horse. They filled the building. Sure enough, they had this old nag-looking horse in there. Brought him out front. This is a story, by the way. I can't verify this one. But they brought him right out front on the platform. And they said, give me a number out there between 1 and 10, any of you. Guy held up 2, going to make it easy on the old horse. He held up 2 fingers. The guy took the horse's head and pointed it out that way. Saw 2 fingers. And he said, 2, stop. He said, not only that, but he understands when you say, just pick a number between 1 and 10 and speak it. And the guy said, 8. The horse didn't even look around, just went. Hey, stop. Wow. He said, not only that, he said, this horse can count to unbelievable high numbers. And so a guy jumped up in the back and said, how many hypocrites in this church? Said the horse went into a dance on all fours. All four just going. Well, it would be pretty hypocritical to come see a dancing horse when you wouldn't come praise the living God. Can you say amen? Amen? It's amazing what we do to try to get people to love and serve this great, mighty God that we serve. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe that God wants to answer prayer again. I believe that God wants to come through. I believe, praise God, I believe, amen, that through these answered prayers, you know what David said about that as we get ready to close? He said, he lifted me from the miry clay and he put my feet upon a rock. The humble, the broken and crushed by life and sin, they'll hear thereof. And they'll take courage. They will have hope. They will be gladdened. The humble doesn't mean humility in the sense of the word we would normally think of. In that Hebrew sense, that word was crushed. People who are crushed by life's burdens and circumstances, they're going to hear about God's deliverance of David. And they'll say, there is a God in heaven. He does answer prayer. If you get right with Him, He's going to come through. He can restore your soul. He can lift us from the miry clay. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I believe He wants to answer prayer so that the humble can hear about it. And they too can be glad. Can you say amen? I've got something I wanted to read in closing. I don't even know if I can find it. If I can't, maybe we will read it tonight. Glory to God. Well, I'll just read this instead. Do you have some notes of mine? You do. Thank you, sister. I want to read this in closing. Then let's do number three. Number four on that thing. This is from a man who has a pretty recent testimony. It goes back to 02. His daughter had an incident. I'm going to share it with you. And particularly the end, because there's such an emphasis on great faith doing great things until people who are doing great things are taking credit because of their great faith. When anything great happens, it's a grace act from a great God. The throne you approach to use your faith is the throne of grace. And what you obtain at that throne before a prayer can be answered is grace and mercy. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Can you say amen? To obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. If I'm coming to a God who is reacting to me and responding to me with grace and mercy, it don't take a lot of faith to get Him to answer me. Can you say amen? Do you understand that? It don't take a mountain of faith to move a mountain. Isn't that good? Yes, hallelujah. But as a grain of mustard seed. Listen. He said, I want to share with you a miracle that took place several years ago. This was in January 31st of 02. We've seen several healings and wonders done by the Spirit of God in our lives, but there's one miracle which stands out above the rest. I'd like to share that with you right now, he said. My only desire in sharing this with you is that it might increase your faith in this living God, which has called you through the grace that is in His Son. For He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the I Am who heals. He's a living God. I like that. Several years ago, my daughter, who was 3 years old at the time, had an amazing miracle happen to her. My wife had taken her to my sister's house to visit and let her play with my nephew. He was about the same age. My daughter was in the yard playing with my nephew when she picked up a hard plastic pipe and put it in her mouth. Just as she put the pipe in her mouth, my nephew ran up behind and pushed her down, face forward, with the pipe still in her mouth. As she fell to the ground, the pipe cut through the roof of her mouth and went up into her head, through the top and rear part of the mouth. The entire roof of her mouth was cut open from her front teeth to the back of her mouth. It was torn apart. In the back of her mouth, at the top rear, was a hole going up towards her skull. The roof of her mouth was hanging down. It looked like wet brown leaves hanging from the roof of her mouth. In the rear of her mouth, there was this hole big enough to stick your thumb into. My wife and my sister took her straight to the hospital. The doctors did all they could for her there. They told us that she was going to need total reconstructive surgery done to the outside and inside of her mouth. They said that they could do no more for her at the hospital, and we would be taking her to Children's Hospital in the morning. They gave her pain medication. And she would have the entire roof of her mouth reconstructed. At this point, now late at night, the doctor said we could take her home and then straight to Children's Hospital in the morning. They said she was in no danger of death, so we could take her home for the short time remaining until morning. They said that she could not eat anything, and we only had to watch for sudden swelling or sudden changes in her behavior. On the way home, and even after we got home, she continued to cry nonstop. It had been many hours since the accident. She had not stopped crying. She also had not eaten since breakfast, and it was now late at night. At this point, my wife started to cry and weep as she felt sorry for our daughter. Our daughter's pain and hunger were overwhelming. My wife then said, "John, we got to pray again for her." I said, "Yes, we'll pray, but this is just too much. Maybe He, God, will at least stop some of the pain." My wife then brought her to us, but my daughter started to cry even harder. She was screaming from the pain at this point. I've got to be honest, we had very little faith at this point. We were being overwhelmed by her pain. We just prayed, "God, please help our daughter." Say that with me. "God, please help our daughter." That's not a big, fancy, put the spotlight on me and my faith prayer, is it? It's just a sincere request to a loving God. Remember what Max Lucado said, that I heartily agree and quote, "The power of prayer is not in the one who prays, but in the one who hears." Amen. We better quit taking credit for what God is doing through His grace and mercy, and start appealing. "Son of David, how did that blind man get healed?" What was his first appeal? To Jesus' power or His person of grace and mercy? "Son of David, Son of David, I believe that Thou art the Holy One of Israel. Thou art the Son of the only begotten God, and I've got my faith out on Your word, and I'm standing on Your word, which I claim right now." He says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped in His tracks and said, "Bring that man to me." And then He simply said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want you to open my eyes." He said, "Do you believe I'm able?" He said, "Yea." He said, "Then be it unto thee according to thy faith." Hallelujah. Do you believe He's able? Yes, I do. Hallelujah. That means I can get prayers answered. Yes. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Whew. Just thought I'd run that by you so you don't complicate something so simple. And a God so good. "God, please help our daughter." We said nothing else. Then suddenly, our daughter fell on the floor laughing. She's 3 years old. She fell on the floor laughing. My wife looked at me and said, "What's happening to her? Is she going into convulsions? Should we call the hospital? Something is happening to her." But she just kept on laughing. At this point, my daughter, who was 3 years old, is rolling on the floor and laughing as hard as a person could laugh. She could not stop giggling and laughing. The doctors had told us to watch for any sudden changes in her behavior. They said if there were any, we must rush her back to the hospital. But she was clearly cracking up laughing and in no pain. My wife then started to get worried. She said, "What did you do to her?" I told my wife, "Hold her down while I open her mouth." My daughter continued to laugh out loud as I held her down. My wife opened her mouth and looked inside. Oh, this is where it gets even better. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lord. I looked inside for about a minute or so. My wife looked inside for about a minute or so. Then she jumped up with a look of shock on her face. I said, "What's the matter?" But now my wife is crying. My daughter's still laughing out loud. I asked her again what she saw. This is what she told me. She said as she looked into her mouth, she could see the roof of her mouth still hanging down and torn apart. Said it looked like wet brown leaves hanging from the roof of her mouth. But she said immediately the inside of her mouth started to be healed, and said that as soon as she started looking into her mouth, it started to be repaired. That's kind of a spirit of expectation. Can you say amen? She said it looked just like a time-elapsed film of a flower opening up. Only this was in reverse. That wound was closing up. Her mouth was opened up, hanging there at first, but as she looked, her mouth went back to normal. All of the tissue that was hanging down started to pull upward and back into place. She said she could see the hole in the back of her mouth as it closed up, and then the damage from the hole was completely gone. I then held our daughter down as she continued to laugh. I looked into her mouth. Everything was completely normal. No damage at all. I ran my finger along the top of her mouth, and she just giggled all the more. I pushed my finger in the back of her mouth, and she was laughing so hard. Where this big hole was, there was completely normal. No pain, just more laughter. My wife and I looked at each other and said, "Well, it's not because of our great faith. We thought it was hopeless. We're just asking for our daughter's pain to stop. But God, in His great grace, did this wonderful miracle." Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise. I've heard so much about men and women and their great faith. I want to hear more about God and His great grace. If you think they're so hot, run after them. But if you believe in Him, go to Him. Can you say amen? He's better than them. And you don't even have to write Him a check. He paid for it on the cross. Ask them to come to your house at 4 in the morning when you've got an incident like that. See who shows up. That plane will not fly to your airport. And that limo will not arrive at your home. But God will come. A God of great grace and great glory and great mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. About 10 minutes later, our daughter started to insist that she be given food. She wanted Cookie Crisp cereal. We told her that they were very hard and would be dangerous for her to eat them at this point, but she insisted. She wanted nothing but this very hard cookie type cereal. She had not eaten all day. She seemed to be completely healed, so we let her try one. She ate it like nothing had ever happened. So she went on to eat 2 full bowls of this very hard cereal without milk. She never had anything else done to her mouth, and her mouth is normal to this day. And here's that ending I wanted you to hear. I would like to say that we prayed through. I'd like to say that we had great faith. But I could only say that He heard our cry and that He had mercy on us. I will say, He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the I Am who heals. It is He who the believing Jews know to be Yeshua. We call Him Jesus. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. Play number one. Let's give God praise in this place. Hallelujah.